Hello. Testing. Hello. Hello. Oh. Testing. Hello. Hello. Oh. Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you hear me out there? Good. No, that's fine. That's just the previous show, and, yes. I should be starting the show, well, in about 10 seconds, or something like that. I'm not very well. yes, I can barely see, because my eyes are all gummy, and I've got a cold, and... anyway, I'm going to do my best. Sorry, I'll try not to cough too much. It's not very pleasant for you in the chat room. Right, let's play the theme music, or the first theme music. And it's past 9 o'clock. We've got people in the chat room, and I'm going to start. Yay!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, go ahead. I am now recording.
Hello, is this Pa the Shy Yeti?
Now it's time for the silliest podcast in the world. The Shy Yeti
with me, Shy Yeti.
He's not that shy.
147. Hello, it's me, Paul the Shy Yeti, for another edition of the Shy Life Podcast. Yes, it's our live 548 show for February 2018, episode 147. Yes, I'm not feeling very well. You might be able to hear it in my voice. I've got a cold again. I'm afraid that means that we're keeping Ick right out of the way, because last time he caught my cold, well... He wasn't very well at all. And in fact, I pretty much banned any of the regulars from entering this time. Because, well, I don't want to give my cold to all the regulars. But you and I can chat. Yes. And don't fear, never fear. Because I do have some pre-recorded bits and pieces involving both Ick and the regulars. Oh, yes. Yes, I'll be telling you about what is going on after we played the main theme tune. Oh yes, this show has two theme tunes. Oh yes, who do we think we are?
What's going to happen today?
Oh my God, it's enormous! It's a Shy Life podcast.
The show's out of this world.
Oh dear.
Going
well.
It's all very strange.
Oh, a million kisses, darling.
I asked for pies. That's all I asked for. Pies.
It's not art.
Oh dear, I've had a thought of that. Never mind.
Hey, that Yeti, he's crazy.
That's cool.
Those four listeners, what have they done to deserve this, eh? Oh dear, oh dear.
So, here we are. Hooray! All croaky and, yes, this is my second cold since Christmas. Or, yes, I had a cold at Christmas. Oh dear. What am I like? I'm okay, I guess. I'm okay. What are we going to be talking about in this episode? I'm interested in hearing anything you want to tell me, really. If you've got any exciting Valentine's stories from anything you've been up to this week, Valentine's-wise, then that'll be good. If you want to, you know, just cheer me up, basically. Tell me a joke. Say something funny. Actually, don't make me laugh too much. I might not stop coughing. What have I been up to this weekend? Well, believe it or not, I haven't just stayed indoors. I was doing lots of editing yesterday, and I released episode 146 yesterday, but we'll discuss the episodes that have come out since the last live episode in a minute or two. Today I actually went out in a car. I don't drive, so that was a bit of a surprise. No. A very old friend of mine, Sarah, who lived in the same village as me when we were kids, Yeti Manors, near Salisbury. I met up with her, and we drove to a pub in a place called Ovington, I think, near Winchester, we went and met in a pub and met another friend of ours, Keely, who used to also live in Yeti Manors, and we had a catch-up. Until last year, I hadn't seen Keely for about 30 years. This is our second meet-up, and we all get on like a house on fire. Not literally, that would be horrible. But, when I was growing up, we lived in Yeti Manors. All the girls were tomboys, well, at least to a certain age they were. And everyone liked climbing trees and... running about. We had a nice lunch. I pretty much cancelled actually yesterday. I texted Sarah and Keely and said, I've got a cold and I really don't think both Keely and Sarah have got kids. And I said, I don't think it's really fair of me to meet up with you and pass on my cold. But Sarah said she was just getting over a cold of her own. And Keely said, well, you know, kids are always bringing germs in. You know, I feel a bit left out being the only one not to have a cold. So bring it on. Dear. We both made the journey and we met up with her. So that was really cool. Anyway, let me see who's in the chat room. Right. And in a minute or two, I shall tell you about this pre-recorded bits and pieces we have coming up. And also... what you can expect to find as extra material this month. Where's the chat room? Blimey, there's lots to read. Right, let me see. So in the chat room we have Toppy Smelly and Troby and Lisa. Yay! Hiya, guys. So, Troby and Lisa say, we're here and we have hot tea already. Lady Grey tea, in case you're interested. I do like a cup of Lady Grey tea, I will admit. Troby and Lisa confirm we can hear you. That's a relief. Toppy Smelly confirms he can hear me. He says, I hear you, Paul, but there's some kind of echo thing happening. Well, that was at the start, yes. Okay, now the echo is gone. Hurrah! Troby and Lisa say, hi, Toppy. Toppy Smelly says, hi, Troby and Lisa. And they wave at each other. It's lovely, isn't it? Oh, my friends waving at each other. Toppy Smelly says, get this man some chicken soup. Oh, please. Actually, I did actually have chicken soup. I had chicken chowder soup for tea tonight. Troby and Lisa say, can you catch a cold in the chat room? No. No, I can confirm that. No, you can't. And Toppy Smelly says, I know, right? Oh, dear. Troby and Lisa say, Lisa is blowing her nose just in case. Oh dear. Oh, now where's it go? Oh, yes. Troby and Lisa say, carrying a raw onion in your pocket is good for colds, according to an old wives' tale, or possibly old wives' tale. Oh, yeah. Well, that's different ways of spelling old wives. Toppy Smelly's joke is this. Now, see which one you think is best. Actually, I'm asking the people who are telling the joke. This isn't going to work. Maybe the listeners who listen to this after it stopped being live will have their own opinion. So, Toppy Smelly's joke was this. Once you're eaten by an elephant, what's the best way to escape? Now, Troby and Lisa suggest one answer, and Toppy Smelly gives the actual answer. See which you think is the best answer to this joke. So, Troby and Lisa's version of the joke was, once you're eaten by an elephant, what's the best way to escape? Troby and Lisa say, make a trunk call to the emergency services, which made Toppy laugh. And Toppy's version, Toppy's answer to the joke is, once you're eaten by an elephant, what's the best way to escape? Run around until you're pooped out. Da 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 dum dum dum. Boom tish. Toby and Lisa think that their answer to the joke is possibly a bit UK-centric. It appears that trunk calls may not may only be sort of relevant to UK listeners. So, Toby and Lisa, they're responding to what I was saying about, aren't we all cute and cuddly? Yes. But that was what I was saying about everyone getting on in the chat room. It's nice if everyone gets on. Yay! Doppy Smelly says, is it true that in the UK folks only drink loose leaf tea and that you are shunned if you use a tea bag? Oh, no, 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 no. Maybe years ago, Toby and Lisa say, we have tea bags galore and are proud of it. Yes, yes, so do I. I don't think people... In fact, I the other day, I was looking for some tea bags and I grabbed the first thing off the shelf thinking it must be tea bags because loose leaf tea is, you know, it's not something that many people have anymore. And I was shocked to get home to find it wasn't tea bags, it was loose leaf tea. But that was a surprise. I was surprised that it was on the shelf there. I must have just grabbed the one part of the shelf that was selling loose leaf tea. My parents sort of have loose leaf tea, but only on occasion, only now and again. Sometimes I used to give my mum and dad sort of one of the orangey loose leaf teas, which they sometimes mix with something else. And no, I can confirm, Toppy, that the days of loose leaf tea are dwindling, ever dwindling. Yes, right. Whilst I can still read, because my eyes are all gummy. My eyes are all gummy. They weren't gummy earlier. I don't think she listened, so I can say. But the one problem with going to see Keely today was that I found that going in Sarah's car, that the air conditioning in Sarah's car really did something quite unpleasant to my sinuses. And I didn't have any problem with my my eyes being gummy before I went out. So I think the car did something to my eyes. Yes. Dear, oh dear. Toppy Smelly says, well, that's too bad for the tea leaf fortune tellers. Well, yes, good point. But I think you could probably just grab a tea bag and tear it open and read that instead. Yeah, that's what I say. What do you say, Toby and Lisa? Tearing open tea bags, that's allowed, isn't it? Unless it's one of those really... sometimes you get tea bags that are made by... Well, there's one particular company. They're quite posh tea bags, and they're harder to rip open. In fact, you probably have to cut them open because they're almost made of little... Like, the tea bags are almost muslin, like a material. Have you seen those ones? Yeah, they're dead posh. Right, as I was saying, I'm just going to update everyone on episodes that have been released since our last live episode. And then I'm going to tell you about the pre-recorded stuff. It's very exciting. It's all about ick. And it's all about ick trying to be a fortune teller. Yeah, I shall tell you more about that in a couple of minutes. So, our last live episode, our January episode, was released on January the 24th. And it was episode 141. That was quite a dramatic episode because ick wasn't very well. We're taking turns in these episodes, being unwell. Ick wasn't very well. He vanished. Literally faded away. It was very, very traumatic and dramatic and all those things. Our next episode was episode 142. That was called Looking for an Ickle Cure. And that involved two of the people in the chat room, Andrew and Lisa, and basically I was seeking advice from Andrew on how it could be cured, and Andrew had some good advice. Belly button fluff tea was the answer. Back to tea again. I should probably try some belly button fluff tea for this cold later. But the next episode after episode 142, obviously episode 143, starred the other gentleman in the chat room, Mr. Toppy Smelly. It was called Hello Again, Pickle Hollow. There were lots of questions and all sorts of strangeness going on. Thank you for your help, Toppy, and for your helps, Andrew and Lisa, for those two episodes. Episode 144 was called Heading Back to Yesterday. At one stage, it was also known as Heading Back to Yesteryear, but then I realised that on some devices I'd called it one title, and on others I'd called it the other title. So in the end, I just decided it was easier to have it being called Heading Back to Yesterday. But there we go. Now, Heading Back to Yesterday was recorded just before Christmas, and it was a bit of a forum for some Sutton Park clips. I've been putting up quite a lot of Sutton Park clips in the podcast, but also on YouTube, on my Mr. Shyetti profile. And we can talk in the chat room about Sutton Park if any of you have seen any of those episodes that have gone up. We can discuss those perhaps in a minute or two. The clips in episode 144 were recorded between 1996 and 1998, and sort of covered the episodes 1612 to 2096. Yes, they were only little clips. It doesn't really work as a comprehensive sort of encapsulation of all of the episodes. The thing is, the linking bits for that episode were recorded in Camberley, where I lived between 96 and 98, and hence those episodes. I thought it was quite a nice little idea to include clips that were recorded whilst I was living in the area I was recording the links, if that makes any sense. Two more episodes have come out since then. One was last week, our Valentine's episode, episode 145. That was called A Heart-Shaped Pie, and that was a little story about Bettina and Damias. And those of you who have been listening will possibly, I won't say too much because it's still a new episode, but those of you who have been listening may know that things have been developing between Bettina and Damias. Oh yes. Oh, romance is in the air. Yes, so that was our Valentine's episode, which I managed to get released with 30 minutes of Valentine's Day still to spare. But UK time anyway. Yes, I think it probably came out 7 p.m. American time, at least. And that was New York side. Whereas, you know, gosh, if we're talking about LA, the episode actually came out with plenty of Valentine's Day left to spare. Yes. Although anybody in Australia, it didn't come out until the 15th of February. But there we go. I'm waffling, as usual. Our most recent episode came out yesterday, and that was episode 146. It's called Old Songs and Alien Beauties, 1986 Remix. In this episode, we basically, Nick and I, had a chat about the big hits of 1986. But Mr. Toppy Smelly also made another appearance, as Ick roped him in. Well, partly me. I was supposed to be doing it, but I managed to convince Toppy to cover for me, and Toppy went to help Ick judge an alien beauty contest. Yes, so those have been our episodes that have been out since our last live episode. Now later in this episode, I'll be telling you when the next live episode is, what episodes I'm expecting to release for the rest of February, and I can also, I can't tell you the full details yet, maybe, but I can tell you that I have two holidays already booked between around Easter time and the beginning of May. So, yes, we will be going on location. Oh, yes, one of those locations is overseas as well. Oh, yes. Now, let's see what's going on in the chat room. Now, Toby and Lisa say, Lisa is now looking up tea infusers, so you can use loose leaf tea without the hassle of cleaning the pot out. Yes, I think I've seen those. They're quite handy, really. Trebunis also say there's a cat mug on Amazon with a fish-infused strainer thing in it. $10.99, apparently. I can send you the link later if you like. Toppy says, gummy eyes. Ugh. It's a picture of eyes that are all gummy. Like they're, I don't know if they're sweets. It wouldn't surprise me. The tea leaves that I bought by mistake, I ended up giving to my mum. But, yeah, she said she'd know what to do with them now. Oh, yes. Troby and Lisa describe the mug with the infuser. It's described as attractive design, looks cute and stylish. Cute cat glass tea mug plays important roles in your life. Could be a tea strainer container, a lovely coffee mug to be your good partner at your office or home.
Aww.
It also says the lid cannot be screwed. Dear. Toppy Smelly says, I used to have a wicker tea leaf strainer. Huh, wicker you had wicker tea leaves? Tea leaves made of wicker. That does sound quite different, let's say. Ha ha. Probably at least to say damn. Huh. Are they saying damn because they wanted to screw the lid, but now they found out that the lid cannot be screwed? Oh, there's a picture of the tea leaf strainer. So sorry you can't see this. Listeners, you should have been here in the chat room, shouldn't you? Dear, oh dear. Oh yes, here we go. There's a tea leaf strainer, and there's a mug. And the tea leaf strainer is like a man who's sort of resting on the side of the cup. He looks quite friendly. You do realise I'm going to edit all these coughs out. The podcast version of this episode won't have my coughs in, if I can help it at all. Yeah. I shall be removing as many sniffs, coughs, bits where I say the wrong thing. It'll sound like we had a perfect show without any mistakes. It's going to be about a 20-minute episode at this rate. Right. So, Trevor needs to say, I remember seeing that footage of Sutton Park in Bath when you used to do the VHS tapes. Lovely to see that again. There weren't that many people who saw Sutton Park because we made it. And perhaps if there was time and we were making the episodes sort of close to home, then maybe we'd watch them after we'd filmed them. I used to edit the episodes, put music on them. I only really got up to about the first 1,000 episodes of doing it like that way. My friend Lee, who is in a lot of episodes, he used to watch the show like it was a normal TV show. In fact, it got to the stage where he watched episodes with people in them, and he'd never actually met them in real life, but because he was watching the episodes, he felt that he did know them. And then when he did later meet them, he had to remind himself, oh no, that person doesn't know me. I know them because I've seen them on the TV, but they've never met me. And Troby was one of the people who also had tapes and would watch for the early episodes. So yes, that Bath episode was a very early episode. Yes. Trebunis needs to say, Harry being sexy was something of a surprise on the other hand. Yes. The episode of Sutton Park we're discussing, which you can go and watch on Mr. Shayeti YouTube page. By the time we filmed that episode, we were being very meta. There was a TV controller like who was influencing what happened on the show. There was also a fan of the show who also influenced the show. And, yes, Harry had been sent to cause trouble by sexing up the show. And, yes, so, I think, yes, yes, this is the one that Toppy says, I recently watched that Naughty Naughty Sutton Park episode, scandalous. It was pretty scandalous. There was actually some really naughty swear words in that episode. I didn't say them. And I put the same clip in. I put the same clip on the podcast, but I did remove the naughty swearing. But I didn't have the editing capability to remove the swearing on the Mr. Shayeti bit. Do apologise for. On behalf of Lee. Dear, oh dear. There's another episode that's gone up recently. I think it's like episode 200 or 202 or something like that. And that was from November 1993. My my 20th birthday. And that stars my friends Kerry and Phil. We've rather lost contact with Phil over the years, but I am still in regular contact with Kerry. And I did tell him that I'd put the clip out, and he was quite happy that that was fine. But Kerry used to be somebody who did lots of swearing. I was trying, at one stage, when I first started doing Sutton Park, I wanted it to be quite clean. I wanted to be able to show it to my mum. I wanted to be able to show it to anybody, really. And then as time went on, people were ad-libbing and people would swear. And I eventually decided, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep this show, swear-free. So I think some people did it more because they knew that, it annoyed me. Never mind. Toby and Lisa say, the dam, that they said dam earlier, the dam was about the lid not being screwed, of course, yes. Toby needs to say, only up to the first 1,000 episodes. Only up to the first 1,000 episodes. I edited it. How long would that take to watch if you did them all in order without a break? I don't know. I don't think... Most episodes are at least 10 minutes long. Some are longer. So, roughly 10 minutes... 10 minutes times 1,000. Then... plus some more hours. So lots. It would be very long. It would take ages. I mean, it would take long enough to listen to every episode of the Shadow podcast. we've only done 147 of those. I'm going to stop and tell you about Ick in a minute, but I shall keep reading just for a couple more minutes. Now, Toby needs to say full marks for the impressive robot costume. By the way, a lot of effort clearly went into that. Yeah, the robot... Listeners, if you, as I say, go to the Mr. Shy Yeti page on YouTube and you'll see a little clip from Sutton Park where, a robot is seen in the woods. Now, I'm wearing the robot gloves and the robot mask. Yes. Drawing the veil back, yes. But I didn't make the robots. That was made by Lee, who's the other guy who's in that clip. Lee used to make lots of really good props. Can you remember any times when a member of the public came across you doing strange things? Says Toby and Lisa. Well, actually, no. We were very lucky. I remember being in Crystal Palace Park with Lee, and like a park keeper wanted to know, thought we were from the BBC. Even though we were just two sort of guys in their early 20s with plastic bags and a video camera, they seemed to think that they were like, do you have authority to film here? And I'm like, well, does anybody have an authority to film here? You know, I'm just a member of the public with a video camera. I'm not a TV company. But because, you know, we were acting, they thought we must be for the BBC. So we had to give them our address. We knew we weren't doing anything wrong, so I just gave them my address. And of course, they never followed it up. They clearly thought that I was giving them a false address, but it was a quite basic, normal episode of Sutton Park that we were doing. But I think the idea that somebody with a video camera would be doing something other than filming their child screaming or something, it was beyond him. But the only other time that I was almost observed by a member of the public, I mean, of course, unless I was observed, I tended to film when nobody was around, when I did a lot of my silly stuff. But one of the times I was nearly caught out was not for Sutton Park, but when I was doing one of my Yeti videos. And I think it's actually one that I never finished editing because of software problems. But I was doing a Yeti dance around Derwent Water near Keswick, and I was just doing a bit of a little dance. I put the camera on a picnic table, and I was just doing a little dance, as I did in my poetry videos. And then I just glanced around, and there was nobody around. There was nobody there 1 minute, and then suddenly, having danced around a bit, I saw that there were some people... Quite a distance, and I sort of turned my dancing into swiping away a wasp that obviously wasn't there. And I just acted totally normal, you know. And I don't think they'd even noticed. But, no, I don't... I'm surprised, really. All of the filming I did, that we were just... We just chose our moment. yes. Toppy laughs at what I called Kerry Sweary Kerry. We're already over halfway through, so I need to get on to some of this pre-recorded material. Now, when I realised that I wasn't going to be able to have Ick in the studio because of my cold, I played it down a bit because I didn't want Ick to realise that I was getting sick. But I did do some recording with him before my cold came out properly. But he was in the spaceship, so he was well away from me and any potential germs. And let me play the first bit of this, and you'll see what Ick has been up to. So as I was saying earlier, Ick is busy doing work on his spaceship, so he couldn't be in the studio, but we are about to contact him now via the intercom, yeah. Let me just try and get through to him. Ick, can you hear me?
Hello, Paul, this is me, Ick Raven. How are you?
I'm good. Yes, I'm very good. Now, you mentioned earlier that you had a little trick, or you've been practising some sort of... What is it you've been practising?
Oh, Paul, I've been practising mind reading.
Really?
Yes, Paul, I don't know how good I am so far, but I thought it was worth learning. Mind reading. It'll help me to detect what the evil aliens like Zap and his team are doing if I can read their minds.
I guess. To be honest, I didn't realise that aliens couldn't read minds.
Well, you know, we can to a certain extent, but then it's only stupid people, like Mr. Trump.
Trump, you mean? Yes. To be fair, he pretty much tells you what he thinks. He doesn't keep anything in his head. That's his problem, isn't it?
You're right, Paul. He really ought to learn to, anyway.
Oh, I know what you mean. He really ought to, but he won't. But yeah, I think it is useful if you, do read some minds. That would be cool. It would be useful.
You see, the more intelligent people, like you podcasters, you know, if you detect that something is happening, you put up barriers, and then I can't read.
Oh, I see. So, right, as you say, the stupider the person, the easier it is to read them, but...
I do respect people's privacy.
Oh, no, I'm sure you do. But, interesting. So what, you're going to try and do a test or attempt to read my mind?
Yes, Paul, that is what I'm going to do. Every week, without fail. Oh, no, sorry, that's another show.
Yeah, yes, it is.
I'd like to try with you, but I'd also like to try with Yeti Uncle John and Comedy, if they're in the studio.
All right, yeah, sure. Sure, that's good. That we can do that. You want to start with me first?
Yes, please, Paul.
Okay, what do I have to do?
You have to think of something, Paul.
Well, like a number?
No, I want you to visualise something, but not food. Otherwise, it'll be very easy to guess.
Oh, right, okay. I'll think of, what, a place or a building?
Yes, those sort of things, that's good. If you could do it now.
All right, listeners, I'm just going to think of something. Okay. All right, I've thought of something. Are you able to visualise what I'm thinking about?
I'm just thinking. I'm trying, Paul. I'm trying. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, I can see it, Paul.
Oh, all right, okay. What do you think I'm thinking about?
I think Big Ben, the clock. And it's all covered in scaffolding, and they're doing work on it. Is that what you're thinking about?
Ha! You're right. Yes, I was. Big Ben, the clock in London. Yeah, they're doing work on it, and it's not bonging. And they've got lots of scaffolding around it. But that's exactly what I was thinking about. Well done. You see, you're doing really well.
Yes, Paul. I really am. Oh dear, I think I'm going to have to go and have a lie down.
Okay, don't overdo it. Come back in a bit and we'll get Cromarty
Well, you get your Uncle John here for you.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Thank you.
He did really well.
So we'll have another clip when Ick returns and he gets to sort of try and read both Yeti Uncle John and Cromarty's minds. See if he is going to be successful. Yeah, very exciting. I was very impressed. He saw exactly how I pictured Big Ben in my head. But, yeah. I think we're probably the only podcast that does mind reading live. Well, I mean, that's not strictly true because it was live when I recorded it. But, yeah. Well, but it wasn't broadcast live. Never mind. Oh, I can see something going on in the chat room, so... I have something else I need to say. Let's see. Toppy Smelly says, I think Ick is pulling Paul's leg. Oh, no. I can confirm. He definitely saw exactly what I was picturing in my mind. Yeah, Ick's mind-reading talents are... Well, they're quite incredible. They really are. Hello, Adam. I don't know. Hello, Adam. Are you there? Yes. Hey. Hi, Adam. Yes. We're I've got a cold, Adam. I'm full of cold. So the chat room is putting up with me coughing and sneezing, and well, I've not yet sneezed, but I have some pre-recorded bits and pieces which I'm playing just to give myself a bit of a break. But I wanted to soldier on. I thought, you know, Pride 48 business is important. You can't just give up because you've got a cold. No. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Whilst I'm here, I should probably say our next live Pride 48 show is, well, exactly a month away. It'll be Sunday, the 18th of March, 2018. Yes. Now, I also wanted to mention, those of you who've listened to my live episodes before know that I also put them out as podcast versions, but I always put extra material in, and I've got a couple of little extra things for this the recorded version of this episode. Now, one of them, well, I'm going to have some more Sutton Park clips, or one long Sutton Park clip. I can't exactly remember. Which one has been selected? That's usually Cromarty's area of expertise, as you know. But anyway, listen on, and I'm sure it'll be explained. Now the other extra material for this episode, only available on the podcast version of this live episode, is a chat that I did with my friend Nick Goodman. Originally, this was going to be part of a longer episode. But it's one of those ones that's kind of sat in the archives, and I never got that far with it. So I've decided just to release the material separately. I mean, if I can get enough people to talk about it, maybe I will do a longer episode one day. But not necessarily. I don't know. The most thrilling subject for an episode. But I started it, so I thought you'd... Basically, Nick and I are talking about why we don't drive. Because so many people, particularly in the States, seem to drive. I don't think I know anybody, of the people I know in the States, I don't think I know anybody who doesn't drive at all. Whereas here in London, a lot of people don't drive. A lot of people I know don't drive. And I mean, I've got a railway station of my own, almost, at my very doorstep. And I've lived in places where I didn't need to drive. Both Nick and I sort of have different reasons for not learning to drive. And originally the episode was going to sort of be about why people learn to drive, why people don't learn to drive, but I just didn't get around to it. I just didn't get around to finishing it. But maybe I'll come back to it. Anyway, for now, I'm going to release what I've recorded with Nick as extra material. Toppy says, you're a true trooper, Paul. Adam says, you sound so sick, or... Oh, well, it's just a cold, really, but, yeah, I was kind of hoping I'd be... I had Friday off, and I kind of hoped I'd be feeling a bit better. I'm kind of going to work tomorrow anyway, really. I think there's only so much time you can take off with a cold. But, Adam says, I hope to have dinner with Paul while I'm in London in 2 weeks. I do hope so. We need to arrange when you're free and when I'm free, and I can even get time off probably during the day if that fits in easier, because I work flexi time. I've got to be out of town at some stage around the time that you're visiting. But I'm hoping I've got to have dental work. Not actually that important, but it needs to be done and it's paid for, so I just need to have that sorted. But anyway, I'm hoping that when you're around is also when I'll be around, so we'll get discussing that. Yes, that would be good. Truby and Lisa say Paul is a super trooper. Beams are definitely going to find me shining like the sun. Right, gosh, time is getting on, so I really ought to play you the next IC clip. And this time, IC is reading the mind of Yeti Uncle John. Yes, yes.
All right, IC, are you there?
Hello, Paul, I'm here.
Right, I've got Yeti Uncle John here. Do you want to speak to him now?
Yes, Paul. Hello, Yeti Uncle John.
Hello, Lilik. How are you doing? Oh, dear, oh, dear. You're going to try and read my mind, are you? All right, then. All right, then, have a go. Oh, dear, oh, dear. I'm thinking about something.
Yeti, Uncle John. I can't. Will you stop thinking about that?
Sorry. No, that wasn't what I was meant to be thinking about. That's what I had been thinking about before I came on the show. Sorry about that.
Dear, oh, dear, Yeti, Uncle John. I've never seen anyone do that to a banana before.
Oh, sorry. You're right, yes. All right, I'll think about something. Yeah, I'm thinking about something. Yes.
Okay, Yeti Uncle John. I can see a wood. A cottage. It's a cottage in the wood. There's steam coming out of the chimney. It's kind of like a winter's day. There's snow on the ground. It looks very cosy. Is that the house where you grew up, Yeti Uncle John?
My goodness, yes, it actually is. Oh, my goodness. It's exactly what I was thinking about. I was looking through some photos earlier, and, I was thinking about when I was much younger, and, that was where I grew up. Oh, dear. You are a very clever little lady, and you really are.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Yeti Uncle John. Oh.
Well done, Ick. Well done, Yeti Uncle John. He's very good, he really is. Yes, he is, and hopefully I'll be able to use this mind reading to the benefit of protecting all of us on Pride 48 from, approaches by evil aliens.
Yes, Paul. Yes, absolutely.
We'll speak to you again. We'll get Cromarty here before the end of the show.
All right, Paul. All right.
He's marvellous, isn't he? Marvellous. Oh, yes, marvellous. Absolutely marvellous.
So there you go. I mean, Ick is really proving himself to be a mind-reading talent. He really is. Now, nobody's mentioned Valentine's Day in the chat room. Did anyone get any Valentine's cards? Did anyone do anything special for Valentine's Day? two of my friends, well, Joe, who Wifey Joe, who appears on the show, Wifey Joe, and also my friend Julie, who appeared on one of my early episodes, we have an agreement that every year we'll send each other a Valentine's card just in case we don't get one from our significant other. So I usually get between 2 and 3 Valentine's cards. This year I got the 2 cards from Julie and from Joe. Julie's arrived a day late, It must be said, but I have forgiven her. Joe's I received the day before, because we met up. We met up on the 13th, but we didn't record this time because actually we've got a few bits and pieces in the can to appear in a future episodes. I've got to use those, but as you may know, when I meet up with Wifey Joe, we often recently have been playing card games. So we did play crib, and we played two games. She won one, I won one. So everybody was happy. Yes, and I got a card and a really nice book from Toby this year. So I was quite a lucky Yeti on Valentine's Day this year. Let me see. Is there any more goings on in the chat room since I last looked? Toby and Lisa say, we did exchange cards and watched an episode of John Pertwee's Who Done It for Valentine's Day, which is at least original. Very good. Yes, that sounds very good to me. Now, what was I going to say? Oh, yes. I've got to cough first. I've just coughed. That's finished. We are coming towards the end of the show, but I've still got some bits and pieces to play. I've still got at least one more clip from Ick, and also, if you listen, there might be something coming up during the title music as well. But Treby needs to say that the episode of Who Done It had Christopher Biggins in it, the actor Christopher Biggins. Yes, always good. Now, what was I saying? Yes, the next few episodes of the Shy Life podcast, following this episode, it's going to be a kind of a trilogy. It's all about Nessie. Yes, it's all about our hunt to communicate with Nessie, and recorded in three different locations at three different times last year. The first episode, which will be episode 148, is filmed in Scotland. The next episode, 149, is recorded. Dear, oh dear, you can tell I'm not with it. Actually, I still make these mistakes when I'm not full of cold. So yes, episode 148 is recorded in Scotland. It was recorded back in July. Episode 149 was recorded in August in the Lake District. And episode 150 was recorded in November in Verona, whilst I was being locked up in, imprisoned in a cellar. Yes, but Cromarty and Yeti Uncle John went on location without me. But so yes, the next three episodes, yeah, they've been waiting in the archives for the right moment to be released. And yeah, the next few episodes, you'll get to hear these episodes that I've been mentioning for quite some time. I'm going to play you Ick's last little attempt at mind reading. Well, I say little attempt. He's done so well. It's an amazing feat. It really is a gift. I'm sure it's something he'll be able to use, put on his CV, possibly. Yes. So here we go. Hello, Ig. Hi. Are you there?
Hi, Paul, yes. Am I going to speak to Comedy?
Yeah, I mean, let's see if you can read his mind.
Oh, yes. That'll be fun.
We're coming towards the end of the show, but we've still got plenty of time, so Cromarty, come and speak to Ick. Hello, Ick. How are you?
I'm good, Cromarty.
Well, it's good to hear you. You sound so well again.
I do feel a lot better.
That's good.
Well, Cromarty, I want you to think about something.
I am thinking.
Okay. I will try and read your mind. Try and read your mind. I see a poster. It's for a play. I believe it. I can't read the letters. Let me see. Let me look closer. I'm reading the title off the poster. Art. Art. This is a poster from last year. For Art, the stage play. I think the W.S. Twinklehorn was in the show. Paul was supposed to be going, but I don't think he ever got there. No. Am I right?
No, Ig, I'm afraid that is not what I was thinking about.
Really? Just a minute. Are you sure?
No, that's not what I was thinking about.
Cromarty?
All right, I was teasing. It was what I was thinking about. I found the stub down in the laboratory, like the ticket stub. I think Paul had been using it as a bookmark. Well done. I'm sorry for teasing you. I was just testing.
Yes, I understand.
Wow, Ick. I don't know how long you've been practicing this, but you've mastered it. You got all those things right. Even when Cromarty said you were wrong, you knew you weren't wrong, and you persisted, and he gave in. And Cromarty, you really were thinking about the poster? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I was. Oh, yes, I was just teasing. I was just testing him. Well, that's fair enough. Well, Ick, you've done a wonderful job, so thank you for chatting to us tonight. I know you've been very busy.
That's fine, Paul. Thank you for helping me test out my new powers.
Marvellous. Excellent. Oh, we've just got a couple of voicemails just come in whilst we were doing that. Let me just have a look. These must be people who are listening live. Let's see who it is.
Hello, darling. It's me, Bettina Dupre. I'm here. I'm here with Damius. Hello, how are you? Oh, we're listening to the show live. We would have loved to have been in the chat room, but we don't have a computer, and I have no idea where I put my phone. We heard you talking about art. The play that I was in last year, when I was on the stage playing the portrait. Oh, Cromarty was thinking about it. Yes, darling. Oh, that was marvellous. Oh, dear. I never did get to see you do that live, but thankfully somebody on the production had done a video during one of the dress rehearsals, so I did finally see it. What did you think, dear? You were terrific, darling. Absolutely terrific. Anyway, we just wanted to say how much we were loving the episode, and hopefully we'll be in town soon, and we'll come and see you. All right, darling? Oh, yes, I'm looking forward to it. All right, darling. 1,000,000 kisses. 1,000,001 kisses, darling. Oh, yes. Goodbye now. Goodbye for me. It's Damius Twinklehorn, by the way, yes. Oh, yes. Ah, lovely.
Oh, there you go. A little message there for Bettina and Damius at the end. There. So, as you can hear, Ick, he's doing so well with his mind reading. Goodness knows where this will lead. I'm sure it'll be a lot of use to us all. So, well, that's nearly all we've got time for this episode. As I say, when I run the theme music, there is one other little bit that you may want to stick around to hear. But, yeah. So, and don't forget, if you're listening to this as a podcast, then there will be extra material. A little chat with Nick, and some more Sutton Park. I'm not sure if there's anything else. By the time this gets edited, who knows? I may have found something else to put at the end of the episode. But as I say, our next live episode is Sunday, the 18th of March. Maybe by next month, I will tell you a little bit more about those holidays that I mentioned. The two that I've booked. Well, thank you to Trobi Lisa. Thank you to Toppy Smelly. Thank you to Adam Burns for popping into the chat room during this episode. It was lovely to see you there. Sorry, I'm so croaky. And Trobi and Lisa say, we'll say goodnight then, Paul. Do you want some night nurse or something? Oh, yes, what's his name? I wouldn't say no. Yes, I wouldn't say no. Oh dear. Yes. Well, thank you for listening, and I'm sure you will enjoy the next few episodes that the trilogy of episodes are coming up. And if you haven't heard our recent episodes, then yeah, we've had quite a few interesting ones around Valentine's. But do listen to when I start the music. There will be one more pre-recorded bit for you to enjoy. So, yes. Thank you very much, Toppy says. Hope you feel better soon, Paul. Thank you, Toppy. I'm sure I will. No, I'll be all right. Oh dear. I thought I was getting better, but tonight I feel worse than I felt the whole time. Never mind. I didn't want to postpone you. No. Anyway, right, let me play the theme music and share with you one more little clip.
I wish you wouldn't creep up on me like that.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, really sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. I heard the live show, but I didn't get to the studio in time. I was wondering if you could read my mind.
Oh, okay, I suppose so. I don't see why not. All right. Okay, well, think of something. Picture something in your mind.
All right, I'm thinking of something.
Okay, I can see. I can see a fog. A strange fog. A mist. I can see a figure. Oh, no. It's my sister. I can see her. She's there in the fog. I recognize her. Standing next to her is Sam.
Ig, what are you doing?
What's going on here?
Oh, Paul. Oh, he was thinking something terrible.
What is going on?
No, I heard you doing the live show, and I just came over here because I wanted to, you know, I wanted Ig to read my mind.
And you did what? Thought about what, Ig?
I saw my sister, and I saw Zap. He was going to shoot her with a space gun.
Martin, is that what you were thinking of? Why on earth would you do that?
I didn't do that. I was thinking of a hamburger.
I can see a hamburger. Now I look into his mind, I can see a hamburger.
Well, maybe... Martin, did you think of a hamburger the whole time?
I promise I have. I was thinking of a hamburger from the minute he asked me to. I never thought about aliens. I never thought about that Zap or his sister. I wouldn't even know what they looked like.
Well, I suppose that's a good point.
Yes. Maybe one of the evil aliens intercepted my thoughts. Maybe Zap is nearby.
Do you think he could be?
I think so. I think maybe he intercepted. I'm so sorry, Martin.
That's all right. I'm sorry. I was just wanting you to know. I would never do anything to hurt you. This smell of it. Your spaceship smells very nice, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Well, maybe you should give the mind reading a break for this episode, Ig.
Yes, but I think you're right.
Why don't we make some Horlicks?
Horlicks? Yes, that would be good.
Right. Why don't you come back to the flat?
All right, Paul, yes.
You want to come too, Martin?
Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm so sorry, Ig.
No, it's not your fault. No, it's not your fault.
No, good. I wonder if Zap is nearby. I bet he's responsible.
Long.
No. Hey, that's insulting.
Goodbye. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.
Okay, bye.
Weird, super weird.
Thank you.
He's not that shy.
Oh, I hope he hasn't found out my secret. Do you think he has?
147. Unified, unique
voices. Unified,
unique voices.
A network of inclusion.
Univazpods.net.
Well, there you go, listeners. Gosh, yes. You see, it's mind reading. All this mind reading business. Oh dear, this is why, you know, it is useful for Ick to have these skills. But anyway, I am about to disconnect from the stream, but I just wanted to look at the chat room. Toppy says, hope you feel better soon, Paul. Good night, everybody. And Troby and Lisa saying, good night, all. And yes, I think it's time for me to say good night, all. But don't forget, if you're listening to this as a podcast, there'll be some more material coming up. Oh, well, just about now, pretty much. Yes, thank you for listening. We'll be back on Sunday, the 18th of March, when I hope not to be croaky. And yes, and I can have the regulars back in the studio with me. Yes, hooray! Oh dear, okie dokie. Goodbye for now. Yes, hooray! Oh dear, okie dokie. Goodbye for now.
I was talking about, because someone mentioned an early dinner. What time do you eat dinner then?
I try to do it around like 4, because I get home at 3.
And now it's time for some extra material. First, a conversation between Nick and Paul about learning to drive, or not, as the case may be.
Hello again, Nick.
Hello.
Hello. This episode, well, I don't know why I want to discuss this, but I just do. It kind of interests me. We're sort of talking about, well, driving or not driving, sort of learning to drive or not learning to drive, and if you learn to drive... Did you learn to drive when you were young? Did you ever regret it? Did you not learn to drive? Did you ever regret it? Or are you glad? And I'm aware that, you know, a lot of my friends do drive. Some of them do for work. Some of them wouldn't have chosen to if it hadn't been for work. And some of them didn't necessarily do it when they were 17. And there's a whole lot of my friends, like myself, like yourself, who never learned to drive.
That's right.
So I don't know. What is... Why did you never learn to drive? Did you ever even consider it?
It's a very interesting question, because certainly in my adult life, I've never considered it. I think the only time, briefly, that I considered it was when I was 20 years ago, when I was going out with the daughter of a driving instructor, who you met, who'd been to Sun Park. And I thought it was one of those things where I wanted to dodge out of it, because... I've never liked roads. I suppose, again, going back to growing up by a big road, it just, the thought of it terrifies me. I mean, I'm a nervous enough passenger. And I suppose because also I come from... If I had a father that had driven, or a brother that had driven, or there was no... driving role models for me.
But your mum drove, didn't she?
My mum drove, yes.
In fact, I was one of the last people, along with yourself, to travel in.
Travel in Mandy, yes. Mm. Mandy was bought in 1960. She was a Morris 1000, black Morris 1000. She even had the banana wing, which I've ever known before. I think my mum must have made it up. She must have glued it on and just for a laugh, but... I've never known anybody else talk about the banana wing on an old car. But yet we had it. I mean, for years, it was kind of this thing set into the side of the car, and I often wondered what it was. I remember my mother, I pulled it out, and there was this orange kind of flip down, almost like a flag.
Mm.
And a banana wing before the indicator light was invented. But anyway, she... was always a nervous driver. The clock had never gone round twice. Various lights went on that she did during the course of, like, by the 70s, that she had absolutely no idea what they meant. So she wasn't a functional driver, but wasn't a very enthusiastic one. She never liked to go far, but then and it usually stopped for brakes. And when Mandy was sold on in 1988, shortly after we started regularly seeing her trouble, she had a very distinct smell, kind of like a... She was red leather.
The car, not your mother.
Red leather, with straps still stuck on from when my sister and I were kids, because my sister was born in the same year, 1960, not 88. I was very sad when she was sold on. I think, not wishing to speak ill of my late father, but he was a bit of a tight-fisted old sod, and at the time, I was wanting to get a video recorder. I mean, 6 months later, I actually went out and bought one because my friend Linda King was saying she'd never actually hired one. Mm-hmm. And my mum and dad were still at the age where everything was hired, TV, especially the TV. And it didn't occur to me, and I had enough money in the bank at the time. And so I eventually persuaded them to have a video recorder in the fall of 88. And my dad compromised, and a very mean compromise, because he was non-driver, said, okay, but something's got to give financially, which again was rubbish. So we're going to have to sell the car. And that was, I don't know, Mum didn't put much of a fight up because she liked an easy life, but I thought it was a bit mean. Because you could have run the things two together.
I suppose he didn't, presumably he didn't travel in it
He travelled in it. He was a boorish backseat driver.
But I can imagine myself. If I had a partner who drove, I'd be quite keen for them to chauffeur me around. Oh, let's go out here today.
Yeah.
And it would probably be the case where the poor driver would be like, oh.
It
sounded like your dad was quite like that, more practical.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't like travel that much, but when we did travel, he was very backseat driverish and would argue with my mum about directions and maps.
My mum gave up her car a long time ago, when she was, I don't know, 60 or something. She just kind of had enough. And my brother, soon after he learned to drive, he had a bit of a prang, and that put him off driving for, I don't know, 10 years or so. But I never learned. Partly, I think I was put off by the fact that people of my age who were learning to drive were all the sort of oiks and the sort of the show-offs.
Yeah.
And you had stories of people like racing their cars late at night, and they were all the sort of the bosh rugby types, and there couldn't have been more different from that. Mm. So it was none of my friends who were learning to drive, so I was I don't want to. And also, I think I was offered either driving lessons or maybe a party for my... I don't know which birthday. I don't know if it was. I might be muddling up the two birthdays, but it might have been 17, or it might have been 18. But anyway, I know the chance I got when I was offered a sort of expensive present. I went for my video camera, which I obviously never regretted. And I've obviously...
I wish I'd been made that offer. I would have chosen the same, I must admit.
You've always lived in walking distance of the town.
I've always...
I lived in Birmingham, where the buses were king, and I've also often had friends like Callum who didn't drive. I believe Callum did do some lessons. The only time I mentioned possibly learning to drive, maybe I think I said at one point, maybe I should do it by the time I'm 40. You can tell that never happened. And I said that, and Harry, who I'm going to be careful how I say this because he might regret it, but let's just say when I bought my house, he started thinking about buying a house. And certainly his reaction suggests that if I had learnt to drive, he would have felt pressured to do the same, because he was very resistant. Why do you want to learn to drive? Very sort of so. I didn't let him stop me do it. It didn't happen.
I mean, I know now why I didn't want to drive. I don't like roads. I have a fear of either sort of causing an accident, because I'm one of these people that doesn't like making a decision in a hurry, and you have to make second decisions, otherwise you get yourself, people with you, or people on the road killed. And I think maybe I wasn't completely anti, but it just didn't seem necessary, because if I, in my young, you know, when I was about 16, 17, I was working in town. I then worked in, I was working in town constantly until 1999, basically. I didn't have the right, I didn't have an income to, that would support a car. It just seemed financially like a, like buying a house, it seemed financially completely out of the radar. By 99, I think I'd made up my mind. Well, basically, one of the things that, when I went back to college and studied journalism, one of the things that I kind of, with the against of actually going into full-time journalism, was I would need a car. And I thought, well, you know.
Of course, there wasn't 99 the year that you met Ali, so.
No. No, that was 2000.
Yeah,
99 was when I started the hospital. It was that era, yes.
Yeah, and of course, if she, with her driving as well, that would kind of, to a certain extent, put a stop to even thinking. You made that decision, I guess.
Because when I went out with Elaine, she was just learning to drive. And maybe that also put me off a bit because, you know, when things, when I was kind of concentrating on. You know, I was much more interested in relationships than I was in the cars. And I think with Ali, obviously, because we've had many, many discussions about this, and I think she's resigned to the fact that she's not going to get anywhere with it. The other thing is, a bit like learning to swim, I was growing up in a culture that nagged you incessantly about both. And so you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you know. You'd be locked up if you don't, you know. And there was a lot of pressure about learning to drive, learning to swim. And at least with swim, I tried, but I just, it's never been there. I've never quite had the buoyance or confidence. And maybe it's the same thing with driving, really. I just have, it's just not the confidence. I do not like roads.
Going back to, before we wind up, I'm going to have to speak to some other drivers and non-drivers in this episode. Going back to Elaine and her car, I have a memory, and I think she shared it with us when we spoke to her last summer, of filming an episode of Sutton Park quite early on, where her character and my character were. This is full of full of action. This, we used her car and we did driving shots, and a giant worm supposedly leapt on the car. It was just just a clockwork like toy worm.
Yeah.
But she was good enough that we did driving shots, and then when we parked the car, we did the worm crawling on the window, and then I tried to cut it in to make it look like it was happening. I'm surprised she didn't just tell me where to go, because you know driving is not something to be mucking around with.
It takes a lot of concentration.
We did do it safely. We did a lot of it in the multi-story car park.
Around the time I was going out with her, she had her Fiat Panda, and just before she passed her test, she used to test drive the, you know, she just to get the feel of it, around the back from where she lived in Rice of Gardens. She used to drive to one end of the garage, sort of. And to the end, you know, the drive, not the garage, along the drive alongside the garages. But no, I think some of it is just a dislike of roads, and I think that the bottom line here, a dislike of roads, an absence of role models, because Mum was very nervous driver. I don't think she took much persuasion to give it up. Dad never learned to drive. It wasn't on the cards for him. I don't know the exact reason why, probably competence. And Granddad gave up after one lesson, so I come from a long line of pedestrians. Also, I think it's a certain amount of resentment that there is so much pressure put on you for socially to learn to drive, and
probably more so almost in a place like Salisbury compared to London, where I really don't know many people who drive at all.
No.
Perhaps people I work with who live further out, but not my friends who live, everyone buses it. But
I like walking. I've always found walking very liberating. And
I mean, of course, I live right by a railway station as well, which doesn't help. But just to finish up, when we filmed our film Prison in the Sun, wasn't there a scene with Lisa and I as the main characters in the in a lay-by, and but neither of us could drive, so how did we film that?
I think it was Andrew Trowbridge's car.
Yes, I think it was.
But... I Was there another driver?
Did we make it look like one of us was driving?
I think yes. I mean, I think it was just we concentrated on the roads in one shot, and then we had you stationary in the car in another, or stood by the car. But
and then a long shot, maybe a Troby driving the car, but inferring that I or Lisa was driving.
I don't think we did. No, I think it was just the. But we're, yeah, it was just and. What's defined that, I think, that relationship, the non-relationship of the, with not learning, with learning to drive, I think, has been being married to a driver.
Mm.
So we've always kind of stood our grounds on our respective views of that. Mm. And I've stood my ground, but I've always been very careful not to treat her like a like a chauffeur.
Yeah.
I've always made it quite clear that although certain things are much easier and achievable and without more without compromise, then I'm not dependent on the car. That's the main thing. The other thing is, I think when I think back to those days, the only thing I don't regret, the only thing I really really do regret. Not buying is a video camera.
Mm.
I think I should have bought one of those when we did Prison of the Sun, and kept, and it would have freed. You know, I became very needy when it came to other people's cameras. So I do it. That's my one regret, but no regrets about cars.
Well, thank you very much for speaking about this, and I'm going to try and find somebody else to talk to me now.
Stop. Some muscles. Oh, yes.
You are the Messiah. The Messiah. Am I good now?
Yes, just slightly melodramatic.
Oh, yes, the new Christ. Christ Almighty. Mighty Christ.
Christ Almighty.
Oh, Christ Almighty. Oh, Zanzibar is wonderful. Yes, we think we are disciples of him. Yes, we are. He's wonderful. We're really, really clever. And he's wonderful. He's new. He's new Messiah. I made a song about you. I'll try again. When shall be my death? When shall it come? When? I sense the end. I wish to be reborn. I wish. Paul! Have you any idea where he will be?
Well, they said they wouldn't go too far, and I was going to keep an eye out, and I was supposed to be rescuing him.
Well, you can't rescue him if you don't know where he is. Come on. We must find him. Why am I always helping you? You can...
I'm sorry. Just wait.
Well, there was nobody in the house. They appear to have gone out. Noise. Someone called out. What was that? There's somebody. I heard figures. What? Like, what's going on? And there, over there. It appears to be Paul and Yorick over there. Who? That is Basil and Bakov carrying a body. Good Lord, what is going on? Who is it they are carrying? Paul, Yorick, which way should I go? Oh.
And so, as Paul and Yorick search for Bakov, Basil, and the unconscious Harry, and the mummy tries to decide who he should speak to elsewhere.
Yorick, over here, footprints. Two sets of footprints. Basil and Bakov. Oh God, what have they done to Harry? Probably carrying him, he's probably unconscious and he's gotta be around here somewhere. Oh.
Harry? It's not down here. You said through that way. You're right, you go that way, I'll go this way. All right, you go that way. That way, that's right. That way. Right.
Paul! It's me! Paul! Mummy! What is going on?
Oh, thank goodness. Come over here and I'll explain. It's a long story. It's a long story, but we need any help we can get. Yorick, we're looking for Harry, and... come on, I'll explain as we're walking. Just keep an eye out.
What have you done this time? Oh, dear.
So, basically, I made a very big mistake. Don't know where he is. He was supposed to teach me a lesson, but... Typically, you can't trust Basil. You can never trust Bakov, so goodness, what knows what I thought I was doing. Basically, I've made a big cock-up.
I do not know. And Jarek, you say he was working for you, working with you?
He's working against the controller and Katrina basically it's a whole mess.
Well, we will not find him, we will leave him. It's probably best that he does not. I will stay with you. We will find him. If by some chance Jarek does find him, that is good, but I wouldn't put it past Jarek changing sides at the last minute. Jarek, Basil and Bakov isn't the last thing that I think we should see. We should work all against all. The only thing is, where is he? Where are they? Where have they taken him? I can't see them. We could look search here for ages. It cannot be long before it gets dark. Oh, Paul, you have made a big mistake this time.
All because some stupid prank, some stupid game. Where are they? Where are they? Oh, please! Please!
Yeah.
Please!
Yeah.
No!
Yes.
Please! Please!
Yes.
No! No!
Yes.
No!
Yes!
No.
Yes!
Yes!
No. Yes. That's shut him up, isn't it? Yes. Right, now then, torture instruments. Stick! Yes. Like that.
Oh.
Right. My turn. You'll go. Wait, hold on. We still need some left for the enema.
Ah.
Yes, my turn. Right. Here we go. Ha ha ha! Yes. Oh, his mouth's come undone. Quick, put more tape. Put some over his nose and mouth. Stop him breathing entirely. Perfect.
Oh God. Mummy, over here, quick.
Got him. Look. My goodness. What is going on?
Why can't just run? Look, they're poking him and they've got him. He's wet and he's being hit. And...
This is terrible. I will distract them from the front. Paul, you go to the back and break his chains. I will make a distraction.
Okay, but be careful.
We will be careful. I will be careful.
I'll go in the back and...
There we are.
And so, as Paul and the mummy make their own plans, Basil and Bakov make a fire around Harry. Well, prepare one.
Do you remember to bring the matches? Mm. Matches? I thought you brought the matches. Oh, bollocks. Mm. Never mind.
We can just rub two.
We can rub two Boy Scouts together.
Yes. One stick, two sticks.
Enema time.
Oh, for heaven's sake, this is... Just get on with it. It's not working. Yes, that's right. Up, go on, right up. That's it, and... Yes.
All right, I've come to that success.
Yes, that worked very well, didn't it? Really? So, will you stop acting promiscuously? You will stop? No? What do you say?
Ow!
Pardon?
Ow!
Pardon?
Ow!
Will you stop acting promiscuously?
Yes, yes, I will.
Oh,
I
good
will.
Success, that's really.
Yes.
Quite handy, really.
I will. Stop! You stop! You stop!
What? What?
Oh, you
God.
Stop!
Oh, he's got your axe!
Stop!
He's got my axe!
You stop!
You fiend!
You stop!
No!
You
have you come to save me?
Yes. You, what are you doing? This is a sick prank.
You mean sick? Sick? Of course it's sick. We thought of it.
And listen here, you.
You miscreant.
Talking of parentage, you
indeed.
Being the father of Lisa. This is my son, by the way. Yes. Now then, you. Young lad.
What do you have to say to your father?
Put that axe down before you have someone's eye out with it.
You
down.
Are being sick and malicious.
Put it down.
No.
Or I'll squirt in your eye.
No. Please, no.
Yeah, put it down then.
No.
Put it down.
Why?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There they go. Let's see.
Rhubarb.
Harry, are you alright?
Yes.
I'm here.
Rhubarb.
Okay.
Nearest
I'm undoing you. Just okay. Careful. Is the mummy there?
Later.
This is a sick joke you are playing. You must not do that.
What?
It is a sick joke.
Fish and pot, just because you weren't invited. Now look, I'm going to squirt in your eyes. Look, that's down.
Look. Let's go, come on. Come on, just go. Come on. Come on.
You have helped them escape. You,
he has gone. He
you
has
will
gone.
Pay for your treachery, mummy.
No.
Yes. Yes.
I
wonder if a dead man can die twice.
No.
Yes. Yes.
An interesting question.
No.
Can we find out?
Let's put it to the test.
Paul, help me. Paul. No.
The place
of war? No! No!
That is the end of the extra material for February 2018. Join us again soon. Goodbye for now.